Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. So good to see you. This morning, something exciting. We're starting a new study, a sermon series that is topical in nature. From the Word of God, we're going to be talking about issues that pertain to our church here at Calvary Chapel. And this was for the purpose of sort of communicating our heart as a church and our vision as a church and our purpose and all the rest of the things that we hold dear as a church congregation at Calvary Chapel. And it's especially good for you if you're a member here or if you're just a newcomer and you wonder, what is Calvary Chapel? What do they think? What do they believe? Are they a cult? And all of those rest of those things that you ever wondered about us. So we're going to take these next few weeks and from the scriptures talk about the different topics that we hold dear here at Calvary Chapel Kampala. And you can see some of them on our banner up there, so you can be prepared for that. Before we begin our study this morning, let's pray together and we'll get started. Lord, we do thank you for the great and wonderful work that you're doing in our church and in our hearts. Lord, we also thank you for the work that you're doing in this city among the believers, the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work, that you would continue to move, that you would continue to stir us up to serve you and to promote your kingdom in this world. Lord, we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At Calvary, beginning our series, we want to talk about the purpose of our church. And as was mentioned in the announcements, we are not here to just be a club or an organization or to have a good time even or to, you know, make new friends and all of that. We do have a purpose. Not only at Calvary Chapel, the local church here at Calvary Chapel, but as the body of Christ worldwide, we are called upon to continue in that purpose. And so this morning I want to give you three general areas that we are called to be active in, and that is, in fact, our purpose. They are, number one, reaching inward, and that is, of course, ministering to one another in the body of Christ among believers in the church. Secondly, we are called in our purpose to reach out, and that is obviously in evangelism, spreading the gospel, but also to impact our community in a positive way for Christ, reaching outside of the church. And then finally, we will be talking about reaching up to God, ministering to Him, which is, I think, the number one purpose for our existence, not just for the church, but for human existence, is to worship God and glorify Him and to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at each one of those things. And these are going to be very general observations, and they will promote you and prompt you to further study. But I wanted to do this, the purpose of the church, to start off our series at Calvary for the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be looking in depth at some of these things as we continue on in our series in the next several weeks to come. After that, we're going to be going into our next study of the book of the Bible. As you know, we study verse by verse here, and I think that's the best way to get God's Word into us. And we'll probably be going into the book of what? Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And that's going to be exciting and wonderful and awesome and so we're looking forward to that as well. But let's get into our study this morning. Starting off by talking about the purpose of Calvary Chapel and the purpose of the church in general is to reach in and to minister to one another within the body of Christ and within the church. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, we can look at this verse and it gives us some good instruction. Chapter 2, verse 42. Of course, our foundation as a church, our instruction, our pattern as a church comes from the Scripture. And so everything we're going to be discussing these next several weeks in our series at Calvary is going to be derived from the Word of God itself. We don't have any other sort of new, cool thing that we want to do with the church. All of this is going to be very biblical and very solid in our foundation, which is the Word of God. And so a good pattern is the book of Acts to see how they reached in to one another and ministered to the body as the church began we go to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 40. It says, "With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." So in these three verses, we can see the pattern that was taking place in the early church. First of all, the gospel message was presented, was preached, people received the message, they were born again, and those souls were then added to the church. They got plugged into a local church, and verse 42 is our key verse, because it's in verse 42 we're sort of looking into the church. It's like we're opening up the doors of the early church as they met together in different homes and they met in different places. We're opening up the doors to the early church. We're looking in to see just exactly what they did as they were ministering to one another, reaching in. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in these four things. Number one, the apostles' doctrine. That is a reference to the Word of God. The Word of God. They had fellowship, secondly. They participated in the breaking of bread. That is communion, remembering Christ through the bread and the cup. And then finally, in prayer, they continue steadfastly in prayer. So if this is our model, then we can learn a lot about reaching in through this verse and through many others, but we'll take a look at this verse. Fellowship. Fellowship is the act of coming together and meeting together regularly to discuss and to worship and to teach and to gather centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. It's unfortunate that today there is a popular teaching, and it's not so popular here in Uganda yet, but it is coming, and I want you to be aware of it. And people are starting to say that the church is not necessary anymore. A local church is not necessary anymore. You don't really need to come in and sit and to study the Word of God and to worship together and such things and to pray together as a group on a regular basis. They're saying that is not necessary. They say you just go by yourself somewhere, you and God, you sit under a tree, you walk through the forest or whatever you want to do, and then it's just you and God, and that is sufficient in your relationship with God in this world. You don't really need the gathering together of the saints in the local church. Well, unfortunately, though that message may be appealing to some, and they say, yeah, that's just, you know, natural, and we can go out of just us and God. We don't need the local church. Unfortunately, that is not the biblical pattern that God has set for us. You see, we need one another. We need to meet together like this. It's how we're strengthened. It's how we can reach in and build one another up. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews that we shouldn't forsake the gathering together of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another daily, and even so much more so that we see the day of Christ approaching. And so now that we're in a day and age with a lot of ungodliness and unrighteousness in the world, now more than ever, we need to make a commitment to be a part of a local church and to gather on a regular basis to fellowship, to pray together as they did in the early church, to partake of communion, the Lord's Supper, together. And then something very important that they started this list off with in verse 42, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the Word of God. It's called the apostles' doctrine, of course, because remember, in the early church, they didn't have the New Testament written yet. It was just after Jesus had died and he was crucified and he rose from the dead. 50 days later, the day of Pentecost, is when the church began and they started to meet together like this and people were getting saved. So they didn't have the New Testament. They just had from Genesis up to Malachi, the Old Testament. And so God was using at that time his apostles, Paul and Matthew and all the rest of these people, to communicate verbally and in letters under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, to communicate God's purpose and God's will for us as believers. And so when they said continuing in the apostles' doctrine, we are doing the same, only the apostles' doctrine is now not communicated by Paul. Paul the apostle is not here. It's just Brian the pastor. But the Holy Spirit who spoke through the apostle Paul and the rest of them are now written down in the New Testament. It is the foundation which has been laid of the apostles and prophets in the New Testament church. Praise the Lord. So, we are continuing steadfastly as we're reaching in and ministering here. A very, very important part of that is the Word of God. Next week, can you see our little list? God's Word. We're going to be talking about it in depth, so we can move on from that this morning. But let me say this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it out. That's literally what those words mean, that God breathed His Word out into the people that wrote it down in the New Testament. This is God's Word. The very words, the very sentences, the very Word of God that we have before us. And it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be equipped for every good work in this world? You need the Word of God. That's how it's done. And that's why God's Word is so important to us here at Calvary as we're reaching in to the body of Christ. Jesus, before He ascended, He spoke with a good friend of His named Peter, Simon Peter. You remember the one who denied Him? Well, Peter felt so ashamed, and Jesus wanted to encourage him because Peter was going to be one of the first pastors in the early church there at Jerusalem. And Jesus said to Peter, He said, Simon, son of Jonah, this is John 21, John chapter 21. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And you know the story. And Peter would say, yes, I like you. You're great. He felt ashamed. And finally, the third time he said to him, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. He's saying, look, I know I denied you, but you know my heart. You know that even though I make mistakes, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, if you love me and you love my people and you're going to be a pastor here in the church, I want you to do something for me. What did Jesus say? He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. It is my responsibility. And we as pastors, all pastors throughout the world, it is our responsibility in the church to feed people, the sheep of God. We're all His sheep, to feed the Word of God, the Bible, the teaching of God's Word. Isn't it sad that so many people have set the Bible aside in the churches and have started preaching all of this other stuff? If only we would get back to God's Word, the church would move forward like never before. We also reach in through the gifts of the Spirit. Again, we don't have time to go in depth on that, but I want to encourage you in this. I know for a fact that if you have been born again, you have received giftings by the Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit, God, comes into our bodies. We are born again. We are transformed. But we are also given gifts or abilities that are supernatural, that God expects us to use them to minister to the rest of the people, to help the rest of the people, to reach the rest of the congregation, the rest of the Christians that are here today. We have gifts of teaching and encouragement and those other things. If you're taking notes, you can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. Three chapters. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is a good place to start if you're interested in these spiritual gifts. But the point for our message today is this. Every single one of us have received gifts from the Holy Spirit that we are expected to share and to contribute to the other people in the church. And I'm telling you as a pastor that if we are not doing that, each and every one of us, discovering how God has gifted us and then using those gifts to contribute to the church, then we are going to hinder the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel, even in the local church. And it gives the example of a human body. And it's saying some of us are hands, and some of us are feet, And some of us are mouths. Those are the ones that talk all the time, I think. Some of us are eyes and ears. And you know what? There's even some of us who are internal organs where you can't even see. Do you know at Calvary Chapel we have a lot of people that you probably don't even know who do very valuable and important work here at the church? And if they were not contributing the gifts that God had given to them, then our body here would suffer. I guarantee you that. It's like your heart. Can you see your heart? You can't. If you can see it, you've got a problem. You probably need to go to the doctor. Okay? Even though you can't see it, if it was to be removed, you would have a serious problem. You'd die. And so just because you can't see all of the things that are happening within the church, it doesn't mean they are not important. I'm asking you this. How has God given... I'm talking to the Christians. I'm talking to the believers. And if this isn't your home church, that's fine. I'm talking to you about your home church. Okay? How has God gifted you? And more importantly, are you using that to contribute to the congregation that you're a part of? Whatever it is. Or to the community that you're a part of. It's very important. Reaching in to the body of Christ, we need to be a healthy body so that we can, and this brings us to the next point this morning, so that we can reach out to the community and to the lost. And let's look at a couple of ways that that is done. If you have a Bible, again, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. We know these verses. They're familiar to us. Let's read them again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In these verses, we have the first way that we are called to reach out. And many times when you talk about outreach or reaching out, you think immediately about evangelism. Maybe some guy standing on a box preaching the gospel, you know, or a crusade or some sort of outreach where you're really vocal and you're just proclaiming the message of Christ. Those things are important. But I want you to understand, reaching out is more than just preaching the gospel and standing on a box or standing on a stage and proclaiming God's word. Reaching out can be done through a godly lifestyle. This is important because I think a lot of times Christians, the message that is being preached is different from the life that is being lived. Isn't that true sometimes? The message that is being preached is different from the life that is being lived. And Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16 is talking about our life, not the message. It doesn't say anything about speaking any message here. It's talking about the way that we live. And the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Praise the Lord. What does salt do? You say, what is salt of the earth? What does that mean? Well, think about what salt does. What does it do? What are some of the things? First of all, salt is a preserving agent. It preserves things. You can take meat and you can cure it with salt and it will actually preserve it and keep it from spoiling. That's a use for salt, isn't it? Well, think about Christians in the world. Imagine for a minute if all of the Christians in the world, all of the real genuine believers, were taken away from the world. Just imagine if that happened. And all of the people in government who are strong believers, dedicated Christians, and all of the people in families, and all of the people in the different schools and the places of learning throughout the world that were Christians, believers, standing up for the truth and what is right. Imagine if all of them were taken out at the same time from the world. I'm telling you something, that the world would go down fast. Right? Because we're a preserving agent. We are standing for what is right and for what is godly. But if all of us were gone or we stopped being salty, what good are we? That's what the Bible says. Salt also adds flavor. Right? You get your food, you get your matoke, whatever, the lombos and all that, and it's not very tasty. You have to add salt. You know what, Christians? Listen to me. We should make our environment pleasurable by our presence. Don't you think? I think that Christians should be a flavorful people. That we should be even enjoyable to be around. What happens if you're eating your food and you want some salt? Do you take the salt and you remove the lid and you just dump it on like this? Is that good? Do you like to eat that when it's dumped on like that? And I think there are many Christians, instead of making the world more flavorful and pleasurable, that they're just in full strength taking their salt and like throwing it onto the food, and it's kind of making it, you don't want to be around those people. They're annoying, they're just causing more problems. Flavor. Salt also makes people thirsty, doesn't it? When you eat something that's really salty, you get thirsty. And I think God wants us to make people thirsty, to see our lives, to see the way that we live, and to thirst for what we have. To make people desire what we have. And guess what? The Bible says this, John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. We are the salt of the earth. People see us, they talk with us, they interact with us, and they get thirsty, and they want what we have. And good news, we have the living water, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reaching out through a godly lifestyle. We have to live the gospel. You know, it's been said that many people will never read the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, or the gospel of John. But many people are reading the gospel according to you. What is your life saying to them? What are your actions saying to them? We reach out through a godly lifestyle, but we also reach out by meeting people's needs. And this is talking about good works. Again, we're not just here to have a club or a fun party by ourselves. We have a purpose in reaching out, and that is to meet the needs of people in the world. And I'm not even just talking about Christian people. I'm talking about all people who have needs. The church should be the group, the local church should be the group that is meeting the needs of the people in the community. I'm talking about orphans. I'm talking about street kids. I'm talking about widows. I'm talking about people in the north and people in the countries like we prayed for, like Sudan and China and these different places. I believe that the church should be number one in being willing to help out in those areas. And I'm thankful for many of you who work with mission groups and those sorts of aid organizations that are working in that area, reaching out by meeting people's needs. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people. Are you ready for this? His own special people, zealous for good works. Why did God save us? To purify us and to make us zealous for good works. I love James chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, pure and undefiled religion before God. The way that God wants us to be in this world is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so we're reaching out through meeting people's needs by doing good works. And of course, we're reaching out finally through evangelism. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize them and make disciples of them. And I'm with you until the end of the age, he said. I'm with you to help you to preach the gospel to people. And here's the other side of the story. I talked about living the gospel, but living the gospel without preaching the gospel will be ineffective. Why? Because people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven and say, that's God working in them, but how are they themselves going to get born again so that they themselves can glorify God through their good works. It's only through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to open our mouth and tell people about Jesus. That's hard for me. By nature, I'm shy. Did you know that? Someone in the first service said, no, you're not. They said it pretty loud. I am by nature. I'm a shy person. It's difficult for me to talk to people about the Lord. Can I be honest? It's difficult for me to stand up in front of people and preach the Word of God. I get nervous every single time, especially if I've been up all night and I've only sat down for two times in the last 5 days. And I know it's difficult for you to share the gospel with people too. Why? Because they may not like it. They may think you're weird, or you're mad, or you're something else, or they may not like you anymore. But the point is this, if we're not willing to open up our mouths and to communicate the gospel message, and I hope you know the message of Christ, if we're not willing to communicate that verbally, then people will not get saved. That's all there is to it. We need to preach the gospel. Romans chapter 10 makes it clear. It says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? We need to reach out through evangelism and sharing the gospel. On a large scale, fine. If we have a crusade, no problem. But especially one-on-one, as you're talking with people, your friends and family, and the rest. Concluding with our third area of the purpose of the church. Of course, we're reaching in, we're ministering to the saints and the body of Christ. We reach out through those different ways that we've just talked about. But one of our most important roles as a church, and especially here at Calvary Chapel, we believe this, is reaching up to God. Did you know you can minister to the saints, to the believers, you can minister to the world, but you can also minister to the Lord Jesus Christ? You can. And isn't it good to know that we can serve, we can minister, we can reach up to God through worship? I was so blessed Friday and Saturday. It was an awesome time of worship together as we were singing praises to the Lord. But what I want to say is this. Worship to God, reaching up to God and ministering to Him is more than just singing a song. It's more than just having the worship team up here. That, of course, that's worship, obviously. But our life can be an act of worship. We were at the grounds the other day of the conference, Passion, and we had some great worship leaders there. I think some of the best in the world that God has really blessed them to lead worship. We had Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin and some of these other guys. And Matt Redman is the one that sings the song, I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. Right? And it starts off, when the music fades and all is stripped away, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And you know what really, this was amazing that this would bless me. But sometimes here in Uganda we have, and they had an excellent stage, sound system, everything. Professional, let me tell you. But for some reason or another, the power went off on the stage. It had big generators of its own. But the power went off. Matt Redman started singing the song, When the Music Fades and All is Stripped Away. And then he came to the chorus, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And then when the music fades, the music faded. Because the power went off. But do you know what was amazing at that point? What was amazing? He kept playing. He kept singing. And instead of hearing just the band coming out of the speakers, which was really loud, all you could hear was all the people there. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. More people than I've seen in one place in a long time. And all you could hear was people singing, I'm coming back to a heart of worship. Because it's all about you. It's not about the music or even the songs. I'll bring you more than a song, he says. Our lives can be an act of worship to God. And you know who I think worshiped the most on that day? And let me say this again. I'm going to boast again about you guys at Calvary here. We had about 220 volunteers there, and we were the majority of the people that were volunteering, with some people that came from the States as well. But the people that blessed me the most, we had a couple of jobs that were undesirable. And we had some guys that needed to be down in a parking lot, in Full Gospel Church parking lot, which is across the street. And those guys couldn't see the stage. They couldn't hear the music. They just had to stand there and park cars. Then we had some other guys up at the top of the road. They couldn't see the stage. They couldn't really hear the music. They just had to stand there and make sure cars didn't come down on this access road. And what blessed me the most and what I believe was the greatest act of worship was those volunteers who said, I will go down there, even though this is so awesome, I will go down there in the parking lot and park cars. That was an act of worship to the Lord. Sacrificing yourself and your time and your money and your energy and your effort to do something for other people and for God, that is worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's another translation I like better in this verse. It says, present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. When we sacrifice and surrender our lives to God and we're willing to be used by Him wherever, that is an act of worship. We are ministering to God. Turn to John chapter 4. We'll conclude with these verses. John chapter 4, verse 21. John chapter 4, verse 21 to 24. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. I notice a couple of things about those verses, and here's what they are. Number one, worship. Worship is personal. We know what we worship. And I'm asking you here this morning, do you know Jesus personally? I'm not asking you if you know about Him. We all know about Him. I'm asking, do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? I love what it says in John chapter 10, verse 4. Jesus said, when He brings out His own sheep, when Jesus brings out His own sheep, He goes before them and the sheep follow Him. Why? For they know His voice. They know Him. We know the person that we worship, and His name is Jesus. Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Worship is also done in spirit and in truth. Spiritual worship means it comes from the heart. And I also hope that during times of worship, or during times when you're reading the scripture, or when you're by yourself, or when you're worshiping with a group, I hope that you feel and experience the presence of God. It's more than just our minds that we believe something. We know Him, and we experience Him, and we have a relationship with Him. I hope that you feel and experience spiritually the presence of God in your life. And in truth, let's have balance here. We're not just doing any old thing in worship, but we worship in truth according to the Scripture and according to God's Word. God is looking for people that are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's searching for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I hope and I pray with all of my heart that as He is looking around this world for people to worship Him, I hope that He finds those people right here at Calvary Chapel. What is our purpose? It's to reach in, to minister to one another. It's to reach out in evangelism and in good works to the world. And it's to reach up to God to present our lives as an act of worship to Him, because that is why we exist as human beings, not even as a church. As human beings, we exist to worship God. Let's do it. Let's do it. Please stand with me and pray. Father, we glorify You. We worship You. We thank You so much for giving us this privilege to know You, to be Your sheep, to be Your people. Thank You that You are the Good Shepherd. And Lord, as we're talking about this little church that You've established here, Lord, We pray that you would give us that purpose of mind and heart, that you would help us to know the reason for us being here, and that you would make it happen in this place. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Lord, we ask you to build this church. You said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Continue to build your church in Kampala, not just here at Calvary Chapel, but in all the churches around Kampala, around Uganda, that call on your name in truth. We pray that you would build the kingdom of God among us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.